Welcome to Saha Says, where we go over the headlines of the week, sharing our in-the-weeds opinions. Except this week, it's going to be a little different. Joining us tonight on the program, we've got Vesh, a security engineer and the Saha moderator. We've got Cooper, a biohacker and our news curator, and myself, I'm Sciatic Nerd, the B-Sides SATX coordinator and manager of this podcast. This week's episode is going to be a little different than normal, because we've all just come back from DEF CON, B-Sides Las Vegas, and Black Hat, and we are all just mentally fried. Now, we all have different stories and things that we've been doing, so we thought it would be kind of interesting to come up and just share our weeks with you, our listeners, and then hopefully you'd give us some comments and feedback. And we've all had crazy different weeks, and I'd like to just start by asking Coop, man, how are you? Well, did you have a good week? Did you learn some new things, make some new contacts?
Definitely learned some new things, taught a few things actually too, like soldering, what have you. And I got a stack of business cards of new friends, hopefully possible employers. Plus I also got another implant, so that can't be all that bad, including my first DEF CON. I got to talk at DEF CON, no less.
Oh, wow. So yeah, you got to talk at DEF CON and B-Sides LV then, is that right?
That's correct.
Wow. So why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about what all went down?
Which one?
So you are actually part of what's affectionately referred to as the Proving Ground, right? Where they actually set you up with a mentor and have you work with folks. Now, who did you wind up working with?
I ended up working with Johnny Christmas from Chicago or Chi-Town. It was interesting doing the distance mentoring, what have you.
So what was it, were they like just Skype calls, hangouts, things like that, going over your material or?
Yeah, mostly actually Facebook Messenger and hangouts from time to time in order to actually have a face-to-face before truly being face-to-face as well.
And was it him watching you with timing or helping you with how to say things? Was it more focused on the way that you would present? Or was it focused on just overall content based on the things you submitted through email?
It was a bit of different things, like content through email. And also I shared a recording of an twice as long run through that I did at Texas Linux Fest, which is a small regional con that I thought was kind of fun that they wanted to have a biohacker come and talk.
So when you were doing that Texas Linux Fest, was it the same presentation exactly, or did you find that every time you've given it, it evolves a little bit?
Every time I give it, it evolves. Plus, I had a full hour compared to like 20 minutes to talk at B-Sides, and I actually had around 30 to 40 minutes at DEF CON before, because they started doing implants right after I was talking.
Oh, okay. And when you were doing the actual discussion of it at Linux Fest versus B-Sides, what did you find that you did differently?
Gave a whole lot more information. Also wasn't as comfortable as I was either at B-Sides and that much more at DEF CON. DEF CON, I was mainly just talking it with the group, filling them in and making them laugh as much as possible.
So the DEF CON one was completely...
That's like a...
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say that's a self-defense mechanism for me, is making people laugh when I'm nervous. And considering I had just a few minutes before getting up there as far as filling in for someone that didn't show as one of the speakers in their lineup, so they needed somebody to fill in, and I got pinged and then told to get up there. You have 10 minutes, get up here and be ready to speak. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I brought my speaker laptop, and I'm actually dressed decently for once, and I'm ready to go. So I got up there, changed my slides just a little bit to reflect that I was speaking at DEF CON, and you know, added my repo of talks and other projects onto the last slide as far as a place to go for information. And it really just turned into an interesting experience for me.
So
between jokes on the way up, I ran into another Saha guy and said, told him what was going on. He's like, can I come with? I was like, sure. And they also, I had him tweet about it on our way up there to try and get other supporters up there and, so that I at least have some friendlies in the audience. And I had him do it with the hashtag of, come on down, watch me shit my pants. And yeah, and needless to say, they were, that was the very first line of my talk saying, by the way, according to the schedule, I don't have a clue who's actually supposed to be here and talk. I am not that guy, obviously. And if you look at the screen, this is a biohacking from a noob's perspective. So, you know, I'm sorry if you came for the other talk, but, you know, please keep in mind, this is a quick replacement with the hashtag of come watch me shit my pants, and I hope you enjoy it. And between the laughing, what have you, I knew I was off to a good start and just kept it going from there. Just tried to keep it positive, keep them laughing, and keep them entertained. And after, from the reaction I got at the end, it was very positive. People loved it.
Good.
And that much more people jumped in line to get implants by DangerousThings.com. I'm all there at the Biohack Village.
So what is it that the Dangerous.com or DangerousThings.com, is that it?
Yeah, DangerousThings.com. They offer a wide variety of implants and accessories for those implants, and always are trying different things. Like, I've got one of their beta implants in me right now, and so far I'm enjoying the increased range and readability that it offers compared to the more traditional implants that you've seen.
So what's different about this one?
This one is like a flat PCB, and it's a flexible one instead of being a coil with the regular chips, what have you, encased in a glass tube.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what you would see in like a, you know, the pet ID tags that you, it's very similar as far as the size as well, because it's like just a little bit bigger than a grain of rice, really.
Wow. And are you healing pretty fast from this one?
Oh, definitely. And the install was completely different as well. Instead of it just being injected into like the web of the hand, like my previous two implants, this one, they made a pocket by separating the skin layers and then slid the tag in there.
Oh, wow.
Since it's a flexible PCB encased in a non-bioreactive polymer, and then they cinched it up or sutured it up after that.
Now you
and I took the sutures out yesterday.
Okay.
And it's really looking good, considering.
Nice. So now I have to ask Vesh, because I know your week is probably different. You may not have had an implant, and I don't know if you spoke anywhere this week, because Coop has just finished telling us, of course, that he spoke both at B-Sides LV and impromptu presentation was also given at DEF CON. And I was wondering if you had a similar experience. Did you wind up getting kind of roped in anywhere you went, or? Sorry, buddy, you need to go ahead and tap that microphone. I think it's, stuff's happening there. But we'll come back to you in just a sec. So I actually have to admit, I didn't present at all this week. I did submit a talk to B-Sides LV, to the Passwords Con section, but it, for whatever reason, well, of course, there's a lot of presentations that get given out there, and some really strong material as well. Vesh, did you get a chance to sit in on anything?
I don't think I sat in on anything. No, I moved it over to business development, so what ended up happening was I had to do a lot more customer engagements and lunches and things like that, because we didn't have anybody in the area. So I ended up having to do the tech side of or the business side of our industry for a little while, which was way different than before, which usually just included talks, drink, talks, drink, drink, talks, drink, drink, talks.
No, so, there you go. And so, I mean, now that must have presented for a completely different experience, like you're saying now, because I wasn't expecting anything as far as, you know, what do you expect if you shift gears when you go to a conference. Like, what do you expect to get out of it? So did you make, I was asking if you made new contacts and things from a personal perspective. Obviously, if you were working, that's a different story. What was your week like?
No, shit, yeah, I did. I made a bunch of contacts. A lot of decent people, about 50% that I would approach as somebody that might want to actually, you know, pay for services rendered, and about 50% that were just fun to be around. So it was a good mix of folks, and I was able to kind of jump in, do some work, get away, jump back, do some more work, get away. It was really kind of like, for me, it was like a mini vacation. I wasn't going to go, and then somebody told me, you're going, and here are the arrangements for where you're staying and how we're getting there.
Oh, wow.
So a consortium of people actually planned my trip for me.
Okay.
And it's a good thing they did, because I got some stuff out of it.
Good. There's a lot of confusion that can come around from trying to get involved and go do things. But I was surprised at the sheer volume of people this year. It grows every year, at DEF CON at least. And besides LV, notwithstanding, because I pay less attention to the crowd there, did you get to attend at all for LV?
I had an edge and everything. I went up there. I went to the vendor and the vendor area and the snack area. And I talked to a lot of the Endgame guys.
Mm-hmm.
They had kind of a large presence up there, which I don't know. I think that might be a little bit unusual, or maybe B-Sides is changing a little bit. You could look around and see who was up there.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of different companies, but that do way different things than what I believe some folks at B-Sides would be involved in. But they seem to be busy and talking and handing out swag. The swag this year was pretty good. I mean, like those digital those 8-bit sunglasses, those things were the shit. I loved them. I wear them now as part of my douchebag ensemble.
That's nice. Do you have a hat to go with it?
No hats. I can make my hair, douchebag enough.
Oh, okay. We used to have a friend who actually would wear a hat. He called it the douchepocalypse hat. It was part of an overall look. So,
Was it a visor? Was it a half hat? Was it a trucker cap? You know, help me out here.
So
was
I think
it a fedora?
It was closer to the fedora. It was closer to some kind of, actually I have a knockoff of this hat that I can actually go and pull, but his was, you know, I think actually even kind of that light blue fishing hat with the rolled up edge thing. I can't quite describe it appropriately.
So the grandpa like hat then.
So for like free BS douche.
That's terrible.
I love it. Free BS douche. Oh my gosh. I have to tell him that. I think, especially because he's such a Windows guy, he'll love it. Yeah, that's my pal Cypher. So, good luck on finding him. He's not on social media. So, the actual.
Are you sure?
Well, my Cypher is not on social media. There may be a different Cypher out there, so.
Okay, I'm gonna say this is probably not an uncommon name.
Probably not. Probably in this realm, I'm sure there's more than one. Just like how many acid burn and how many have you met, really? Zero, cool, etc. Anyway,
do any of them look like Angelina Jolie?
I'm not
probably not
free to comment. So,
oh, they're out there. I friggin' saw them and I was amazed. I was like, holy shit, you've been around a keyboard before. That's weird. Why is that weird?
Shouldn't be weird.
It's not weird. But we make it weird. That's the problem. But let's not even get into that. So, what I was actually, so.
No, we don't. We're just not used to it.
Oh, is that it? Is that the official? No, we're weird. I'm saying it's us.
The
people are normal.
It's a changing scene. We had, like, if we were going to do the news today, there was that one about, you know, DEF CON kind of changing and shit. And I picked it up and I happened to agree. So I went to QueerCon and it was fun.
I actually heard a lot of positive reports from QueerCon this year. I did not go. I was mentally done by the time I got there. By the time that the parties were coming around, I'm sorry, I was way too wound this year with all the AV stuff for B-Sides LV. So
Unless you were a goon.
No, I was not a goon. I was not.
I thought you were a goon at DEF CON.
Everyone thought I was not. Hi, I was wearing a human badge at DEF CON. The vest is just my normal thing.
Red.
But I wore a red shirt. It was my Saha shirt. My Saha shirt was red that day. I was mistaken for a goon by other goons, by people working the event. But I kept saying, I'm not a goon. It's a human badge. It's not the goon badge. What am I supposed to do? This is just how I'm dressing. So I kind of got, I don't think in trouble, but it just kept becoming an issue. A non-issue, but an issue. Because I'm not trying to volunteer to goon. I have a lot of respect for the goons, and I am not, in no way am I going to disrespect those folks. They do an admirable job, and that is a tough job.
I think I volunteered next year to find all of those cell stations that people are just setting up and running,
yeah,
and just DFing them and breaking them. I did volunteer for that duty next year.
You did.
I mean,
I'm learning how to build one for the fun of it.
Yeah. Attention, assholes who make my phone run out of batteries really quickly. You do nothing. You're catching nothing. Anyone who's worth anything does not roam on a GSM network anymore.
Yeah.
Stop it. You're just fucking annoying. You're not catching anything. There's only a theoretical attack against LTE encryption. And trust me, none of you retards have been able to cobble it together with your fucking backpack SDR rigs. Just stop being annoying. I will find you. I will dip.
You do realize there is a chance that people will actually hear you. There's a chance they'll be waiting for you next year.
I don't give a shit. I'm gonna go if I find a single rogue base station next year, I'm setting it on fire and I'm killing the person running it.
This person has a concealed carry license.
Not in the state of Nevada. So,
booyah, and definitely not in a casino.
Right. So,
yeah, but what if you saw it at a regular Saha meeting?
No. At the regular Saha meeting, I couldn't expect that. Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. There's a place for look, DEF CON. Okay, if you have something new, novel, cool, whatever, and you want to set it up, fine. I'm cool with that, right? Like, say you actually have an attack against LTE and you want to demonstrate some shit. Great. Or whatever. So something that somebody hasn't really thought of yet. But if you're just setting up the same, you know, fucking OpenBTS asterisk server combo with a Blade or an RTL SDR or a USURP or whatever, you know, stop it. You're not doing anything new. You're not doing anything novel. You're just being an asshole running down the batteries of everybody in the casino. And I hope that... And guess what? If I find out what you're doing, if I find you, I am going to tell the fucking hotel security personnel. Have you ever had to deal with Vegas hotel security personnel?
By design, I have not. No,
they do in that back room.
Yeah, they're kind of scary. There a few came into the Whiskey Pirates location for after this one poor little kid that was being stupid.
Oh, dear.
At first, he was doing the normal deny, 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 but they already knew everything, so he had to own up to it. Oy vey.
There's only one thing you can do to get kicked out of a Vegas casino, as it turns out, and that is fuck with the gambling.
Yep.
If you
it's a good
fuck
way to
with
get
customer,
kneecaps.
If you screw with customer service at all, even one hair. I mean, the person who put me up, at Vegas there got a scooter and I was just doing donuts in the bar area and the casino area. But here's the difference. I was not interrupting gambling or gaming. Right. I was just doing donuts on a scooter while they were tipping very generously for drinks because I was being an asshole.
Oh gosh.
So problem solved.
Well, so with that being said, so, I'm just going to share. I was asking us each to share a little something about our week. So I got to say, because I was there for LV, I went and helped with the audiovisual stuff and did my part there. And, you know, that runs pretty hot and pretty heavy, and then helps it up a little bit for the pool party at the end of that. And then on Noobs Day, I actually ran over to, there was a, so it turns out to have been a major nerds week, a nerd, pro nerd week in Vegas. Like, they tried to knock out all of it at the same time. Did you guys know there was a Comic-Con that week, the same weekend as Def Con? There was the Vegas
there was a Star Trek 50th anniversary thing going.
Yep.
I saw a few of them dressed up like, oh gosh, what was it? Twills or something? Trills, sorry.
All right. Trills? Tribbles? Were there some tribbles?
The tribbles were accessories.
Trills, the ones with the spots.
Oh, yeah. DS9. That's right. That's right. Although I think there might have been another part of that name, but that's okay. I can't think of it right now either. But yes, so you got different kinds of characters there, but that was over at the Rio. So the Def Con left the Rio, the Star Trek Con went over there. If you went to the Orleans, Comic Con was actually over there over the same weekend as Def Con. So actually Vegas Comic Con was there.
Fudge, why wasn't the phone lighting up and shit like that? Because we could have, I mean, that would, well,
it
I guess
been hilarious.
You would have had to. I guess you would have had to, like, get a badge and go in
Yeah, but see, it's however many dollars you wound up spending to get into Def Con, and then you turn around and it's going to probably be another 75 to 100 plus bucks just to walk in over at a Comic Con like event. And so that, I would have thought it would be hilarious to have, you know, kind of the Def Con invasion of Comic Con. I thought that would be kind of interesting to watch those two culture clashes come together. And
that's just going to be a clash of the odors. It's like, who smells worse?
Oh,
come on now.
Pass out the degree deodorant to everyone.
Yes, I love Blinky Badge. This year for me was the first year I actually kind of focused on Blinky Badge Con. That was, I like all the light up specialty badges, and it just, goodness. So
I the Crypto Village one?
I actually bought the Crypto Village one.
Ah, me too, because I worked it.
Ah, yeah. See, now, did you get an assembled one?
I helped repair a bunch of those.
What?
I helped repair a bunch of those Blinky ones because they had a 90% fail rate the first day.
Oh.
That they were trying to do final assembly with a toaster oven.
Oh,
and the next day, there was a lot of desoldering and resoldering and reflowing.
Well, that's because they're all surface mount style. So I was joking about actually trying to flow them in a toaster oven. They actually did it in a toaster oven?
Actually did it. Only some of them worked.
Oh, my God.
Then there was a 12-hour stretch of heat gun, soldering irons, and prayer.
So
lots of.
So, wait, these are surface mount style boards. Are you hand soldering them?
Uh-huh.
How successful were you?
We had a 6-unit failure out of the entire batch.
And how many were there in the batch, do you know?
Enough to where it was like a 90-95% pass, I think.
So
either 80-95% pass rate when we started with a 90% failure rate. So
that's a much better
hands-off improvement. A lot of the guys, including Sam, aka Goldilocks, from Missouri, because he busted tail and really worked hard on that.
Well, I mean, I have nothing but respect for the folks who actually try to come up with these ideas. So I have a parts list. I only have the raw board, and I have to order the parts. But
you've got the raw board?
Yeah.
Ah.
So
hopefully they'll have the full firmware completed once you get all your parts, because in the end, it's supposed to be like a YubiKey.
Is it really?
Not just a pretty flashing thing.
Oh. Well, that would be awesome, as long as we can get the parts onto the board, because I'm trying to figure out how I'm supposed to get that all mounted to the device successfully.
Solder paste and a hot plate, or a very, very careful time with the soldering iron.
Yeah, I mean, I've had to do that before with, like, SIM chip readers.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah, I'll be asking for help, is what I'll be asking for, because that's going to be interesting. I'm welcome.
Maybe
to
we ought to have a solder night at Saha, and everybody bring what they're working on.
Dude, totally.
I'll bring my DC Dark badge if I haven't already finished it.
I have to order that one too because I want the Dark Knight badge. But they were out of parts.
This year was pretty freaking cool. And one of the guys from DC Dark Knight helped design the crypto badge this year.
Oh, okay.
So, but he did an amazing job on the DC Dark Knight badge because, as it was described to me, once you're finally done, one of the bits of it is you basically have like a ad hoc IRC network that you can text other people with the badges.
So that means
like a portable chat room.
What kind of radio is on it?
I don't know.
No, I guess it's, I realize it would be a local something. I guess I'm asking, what kind of, so is it a Wi-Fi radio or a local, RF kind of thing? I was just curious.
I'm thinking it might be a local RF, but I would have to actually look at the documentation that they have on their website.
Say again?
Might be Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it could be Wi-Fi.
Whatever it is, he was impressed.
I'm sorry, Vesh, say that one more time.
Personal area network. I said I'm personal area network using Bluetooth low energy.
Sure. Oh, it could be a Bluetooth, a BTLE, or what is it? BLE is, I think, actually the appropriate thing.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see how that
BLE is fine.
And the, all of these things, cause I got, you know, suckered in looking at the cool, video clips of the Bender badge. From, what was it? And not Exor, or how do you say it?
Oh, the Bender badge?
Yeah. The Bender badge was my personal.
That was amazing.
I was chasing after them trying to get one, but they had obviously a limited supply that they all made by hand. And they brought them with and they just kind of sold them off. And I'm on the lookout to see if I can, I'll still try to pick that thing up now after the event. I still think it's awesome. And,
might end up on eBay.
Oh, but I'm not spending $200. I'm not doing it on $200. No. Someone offered me. They were like, "Hey, I'll give it to you right now, $200 cash money." I'm like, "That's my toy money. How am I supposed to do that? I saved up my hard-earned cash so I could go buy things at DEF CON from people like Hack5 and other wonderful vendors." But
there might be something at the vendor booths that I won't want. Ooh.
Well, yeah.
You know, like a drone that costs, you know, 10% more than markup.
Well, no. Well, I didn't see that. I wasn't looking for that. I was looking more at the Pineapple Tetra, which was $50 off,
I got a Pineapple Nano.
Oh, you did get your Nano. Oh, good for you.
I got my Nano cheaper than normal. So, the funniest part was I totally tried to email them and just buy it beforehand and then pick it up there. Oh, but they're like, "No, can't do that because we're actually going to have better pricing there."
Ah.
So I made sure to go buy.
I actually,
darn, they helped me save money.
Right. So I went ahead and I thanked them. I personally got to thank, Snubs for supporting us as she helped us and got permission, and sent us the prize pack for B-Sides SATX and said, "Thank you so much." So that was actually, that felt pretty good to be able to actually look a person in the face and tell them thank you, because I know that we helped some folks who did not have toys get toys to start learning. And I know, Coop, you were one of them. And so I'm thankful that you were able to benefit from that and that you got to see them and talk to them.
Look, isn't that great? Cause there was Chris Garrett's left a LinkedIn post because he's kind of doing the rounds with his company now, getting customers and doing talks and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that were, so damn thankful that he just showed up in person.
Oh, wow.
And, and I thought about it for a minute and I was like, you know what? I like it better in person too. You know, the thank you, the gratitude, the expression, mm-hmm. You know, I always follow, you know, as a matter of course, I always follow up my engagements with like an email or something, but, sure. You know, it's the personal touch, the face to face. That's great.
And that was one of the things that I just found to be a surprise is that I'm starting to finally get through. Cause the first 4 years or so of going to this, something this size, it becomes this impenetrable wall of me versus either the crowd getting into a talk or trying to find where I want to spend my time. This year was the first year I felt like I could do something different and I could work my way into parts of the con that made better sense to me. For example, I spent a lot of time in the social engineering village, and I watched what they were doing in there, and I thought, you know, I actually think I could do some of this. More than that, I appreciated the way they explained things and concepts, and it felt more down to earth. Just like hanging in the crypto village, seeing the way they presented their topics and their explanation between privacy, between getting to look at the posters from, folks like, Carl Mayner, who did an X509 series of posters, where there's something visual that you can go see and look through. There's an actual way to connect with these people. It just makes it a crossroads to me. And that's worth it.
The social engineering booth, can you give me a little bit on that? Because I want to see how closely it mirrors some of the stuff that, you know, the interrogators and like reports that I would, when I did my military job, I want to hear closely their tactics intermingle.
So,
because it can't be too far off.
Well, some of the details there are really kind of private, the way they handle them. But is there something specific you had in mind? Because I can definitely tell you that they'd set up engagements. No. Go ahead.
Just a brain dump of what they were telling you. Like, because I'm assuming you went up there kind of for a tutorial approach, right?
Well, yeah, and I just wanted to see what there was going on in there, and I also happened to know a couple of the guys running audio there, and I was like, hey, you know, come say hi, see what's going on. And I sat down, and it was just amazing that folks would describe in the question-answer sessions, because they have different presenters, right? And so they have people come up and kind of walk through what they do. And in describing an engagement, they explain kind of the concept of a pretext, right? So you got to know your story ahead of time. You build it up and you do a little research to figure out what it is you want, what your goal is. And then the question becomes, you're really trying to identify what the recipient, the caller target, what is it I'm going to present to them? How far am I willing to go? How natural does it sound? And if it sounds matter of fact or, you know, just matter of course, hey, this is something we do every day, will this person be willing to share more than they're really supposed to? And I'm sure that, I mean, is that what your engagements were for work when you were in the service?
Oh, I didn't have to do that portion. I was more, you know, I didn't have to do that portion.
Okay.
That was other people. So, but I, you know, you get to know them and who's doing what, and they tell you stories, and then you read reports, like you read the reports that come out of some of these sessions,
right?
And it's like, how did you get this guy to talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, you know, setting the stage. And now, granted, it's a much more captive audience,
right?
Captive being the key word, but. It's the pretexting, like I, as much as I've read and I've heard, the pretexting stuff is friggin' critical. You know, I need the plausible lie. Why am I here? Why am I interested? Otherwise I just look weird. It's like phase one. Well, it's like phase one through five. And I just am fascinated at how much these two worlds have kind of, it's kind of like sales and interrogation techniques and all that stuff. Everybody thinks that, oh, during an interrogation, they just beat the shit out of a guy until he gives them information.
Well, and
it's like, no.
Exactly. No, there's the concept of the $5 wrench will beat every encryption key ever devised. Because, you know, the cryptographer, it's an XKCD comic. I think a lot of us have probably seen it. And it's the one where, in a perfect world, the cryptographer thinks, oh, well, as long as they don't have possession of this or that secret, it's fine because they'll never have possession of the private key. And in the other panel, it shows someone saying, you hit him with this $5 wrench until he gives you the answer. And that's, you know, okay, fine. So you can protect the key all you want, but all it takes is for the human element to break down and the game's over. And that's really one of those, you know, there's no fix for that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said the $5 wrench part, because usually it's not a $5 wrench. Usually it's something nicer that costs more money, but still not as hard as mathematically deriving a cryptographic key.
Right.
Still human.
I'm with you. I think we're understanding one another. The part that gets it though is that gets me is that as you listen to the stories that people are sharing or the over the top one time stories, right? Because everyone likes the extreme story, right? The one where just the impossible happened and you came up with this wild eyed idea that actually took off and worked. And in terms of social engineering, that's fewer and farther between. It's usually the mundane that happens to win the day, it seems. In most situations, the more obvious answers are the easy and readily available ones. But when it comes to what these folks were sharing, it was just the ability to keep things real and realistic, right? Sadly, the best lies have more than a kernel of truth to them. And that's part of what comes out of any of that kind of conversation. And listening to that and seeing where that can come in handy, especially if you're trying to strengthen an organization's security posture, you know, whether it improves training at the distant end, or if someone's maybe been caught on it before, or if there's been some way to harden the mindset of the people receiving the calls. It's a good thing, because you don't want that to just be some ramshackle, oh, sure, we gave this person 5 minutes of training, threw him on a phone, and then expect them to protect the things they're supposed to protect. There's definitely a need to keep that human element sharpened. And that's one of the things that gets lost very easily if you're into the certification games. May the odds and CPEs be ever in your favor. There is definitely something to be said for paying attention to your physical security blocks and for your human interaction blocks. There are going to be sections where we just get overwhelmed. It's too easy to just start getting chatty on a plane ride somewhere because you're bored. And the next thing you know, you accidentally let something slip that you didn't even mean to. But it's not necessarily, as I'm sure anyone listening to this podcast might be aware, it's not the people going to the conferences who might be the ones who let it slip, or at least you would hope it isn't. You would hope it's fewer of these folks. It's going to be the folks who aren't expecting it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely so. I mean, think about when you're on, say, a commercial airliner, right? And right. What is more, you know, what's more likely to engender a matter of trust, right? Somebody's, you know, a CEO having somebody else sit next to first class,
mm-hmm.
or two guys in coach that happen to have one, right? I'm betting it's going to be the CEO and the guy in first class. He's going to think that it's another one of him, right? I mean, we'll think that it's another one of us in the same T-shirt. However, we're a little bit more guarded because we're aware that anybody could have bought that shirt, anybody in that seat, you know?
Yep.
Whereas with the CEO, there's some expectation that the price of the seat is a limiting factor in who gets there. It's like, well, is it anymore, though?
I mean,
could it be that a person just upgraded?
That's right. Anyone can get a free upgrade in a seat. Anyone can. I mean, if you're going to game a system, the system can be gamed. It's just not surprising. But you're right. So let's say that it's the innocuous moment. It's the, hey, we're both in line for coffee. Bring up a topic. And that's where a true social engineering situation can take place, where if you have a coordinated, worse than a spear phishing attack, you observe a person's actions for a period of time and then follow their pattern and then get into their pattern. And then, you know, that's a whole nother level of, that's beyond standard engagement. That's borderline obsessive behavior if it isn't some kind of engagement. And that's a separate whole issue.
I like to inject myself as like a sexy barista, you know, and just, that's what I like to do. And then I write on the mugs, call me, and then that's how I get my intel.
So you
that doesn't work with all the guys, dude.
Oh, it works with most of the guys. You'd be surprised. A little bit of lipstick, I'm fabulous.
Well, there you go. You heard it here.
Dude, yeah, I was so much braver after QueerCon that I was like, you know what? I could do lip gloss. I could. No, so. But I want to get back to that because that QueerCon thing was interesting as shit. I know that they've had problems before, like they had problems at the Rio, mostly related to assholes. But and that wasn't intended to be a pun. There's genuine assholery that went on there with the Rio and QueerCon and all that.
That's
apparently
a shame, really.
So, dude, and I want to know where InfoSec is getting all these hard bodies. That's what I want to know. You know, all the dudes in the pool, you know, six packs, nice, you know, nice abs, and they're doing stuff. They're hugging each other. They're triple kissing. They're throwing inflatable balls at one another. You know, they're getting shit done, right? And I'm just going, you know what? These guys, they've got it. They found love. They found fun in a pool. This is it. And then, fortunately, I had a large Nordic friend next to me who was gigantic, and that was my bear for the evening. So
did that
nobody
help?
Really.
Wow.
Reports. There were certain reports out of there saying that no, it didn't help that much.
Okay.
But
well, I mean, because I mean, if you're not looking,
it was. I'll tell you what. Don't be scared. It was fun. Just go. Have fun.
No, but be warned,
you will feel ashamed of your paunch.
Oh, well, no, please, that is the truth. I mean, when I go to the, that's why I'm always nervous about going to a pool party. I'm like, okay, you know, a double t-shirt. Let's just, you know, let's spend some time but not hang out, if that makes any adult normal sense.
Dude, I was freaking like, do I want to pop my shirt off here? And it wasn't because of any type of like homophobia or anything like that. It was like, these guys are good looking. I don't know if I want to do this.
Do you think they were hired to come and just spend time with folks? Because I've been to other parties where they'll hire people to hang out of a mixed group of folks just to keep people company. Do you think that was hired to do?
All right. If anybody out there is like manager of QueerCon, can you please send us a note or something on whether or not those were hired hard bodies?
It's just a curiosity.
We just want to know. We will not reveal your secret.
No.
I just really want to know. Well, we might reveal your secret. So,
because, you know, in other countries.
I can't promise that.
In other countries, it is a socially normal thing to, if you go to a karaoke bar or something like that, you can actually pay for folks to hang out with you at the karaoke clubs. That's not out of the norm. And I'm not talking anything sexual. I'm talking about just keeping company and hanging out with you for a couple, 3 hours. And that blew my mind. Now, granted, that was not in this country that I've seen, but it was, you know, hey, you travel, you learn things, and you say, really, that's okay. And I guess it's no different than hiring a pretty person to stand in your booth and get folks to wander by and stop over and pick up swag. In a way, it's just saying, look, you know, we understand that pretty people are attractive, therefore we will have them on hand, and they understand it's their job, and just don't go too far.
That's what we got Vesh for.
That's somehow more offensive than hiring. Yeah. I find that somehow more offensive than, like, I find booth babery somehow more offensive than putting a bunch of, you know, than putting eye candy in a pool.
Well,
right?
But it's,
like, at a party.
It's quite literally the oldest way of attracting humans into an area is you put pretty people near them. That's it. I mean, just find an attractive person who is appropriately proportioned, and then people will show up. You know, and I've seen it done at Renaissance festivals. I've seen it done, at InfoSec events. I mean, we're still human. Even if we mostly dislike other humans, we still don't mind attractive humans from time to time. So.
Yeah, say anybody pretty walks by me, I just start spitting at them. Get away from me, pretty person. You're detracting from my pretty. Pooh. Puh.
Wow. Can I actually
Don't get all jersey on us now.
Can I pay you $5 to do that next time we're all out, like at ISSW or something, and just have you start to randomly, spit on Austinites? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Do not do that.
Sixth Street. What?
Done. It's done.
That should be added to the scavenger hunt.
Good Lord.
Spit on
pretty
hipster.
Person in the group. Spit on pretty people.
Done.
Wow. No, because what will happen is that'll like make the news. That'll be the end of it. There will be no more scavenger hunt. That is not something that is not appropriate. That is not appropriate. No.
Yeah, please jack around at some other conference. Please do not jack around at ISSW.
And not at B-Sides, please.
Austin B-Sides, what?
No.
Oh, yeah. Not at B-Sides because, you know, they're
like,
good people.
Yeah, thank you. See, that's good. See, we're positive here. We want to grow the community. Now, everyone likes to blow off steam. Everyone likes
Hey, what was Big Deuce from Hackers for Charity's name again? I always forget him. He's the gigantic dude.
Oh, you're talking about wait a second. I want to use his handle, which is
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
that's what I want.
Because I had it's Spriedel. Spriedel is his name.
Spriedel, that's right. Dude, I always forget.
He's over
in Utah now.
Yeah, well, he's actually okay now. He went through a little bit of a rough patch because some things went sideways a couple of years ago, and he had to get back on his feet. So thankfully, he is doing well now.
He looked good at DEF CON.
Yeah, he looks he he's
looked, like, all healthy. Smiles.
He looked happy. Yeah, he looked happy as shit.
Which is a good thing.
I assume that he was like, yeah.
Yeah, and
I wasn't talking about anything particular. I wanted to remember. I had it on my because I was pulling a Hackers for Charity shirt out of my closet, and I was like,
Oh yeah,
I remember this one. This is the one that fuck. What was his name again?
Yep. And so I'm wearing a Hackers for Charity shirt today too. Yeah, I'm wearing the Derby one from 2 years ago.
See that?
Yeah, I'm. Which reminds me, of course, since you know the fall con schedule gets kind of crazy. Is anyone else going to Derby this year?
I couldn't get a ticket.
Ah,
they sell out way too fast.
I am an unknown quantity.
Okay.
Possibly.
Okay. And I'm.
You guys are gonna lobby con it?
Huh?
You gonna lobby con it, or do you have a source?
I have sources for everything. I got people for all kinds of shit.
Okay.
You heard? You stayed at my house. You stayed at my parents' house. You know, don't fucking mention any of that on the radio. Do not mention any of that on the podcast.
No, I have to delete that segment. I'll just delete
some dirt. Yeah, I got some dirt.
Just don't get into particulars. That's private.
Well, that's private. That's private.
Well, the names would be changed to protect the guilty.
Yeah, well, to protect something. What I was going to say is that I'm actually I'm working at the event as AV. Oh. So. I'm not sure, but I think I've just been.
Mr. Robot apparently is complaining.
Yes, I'm not sure why, but his video has gone out now, which is strange.
He's frozen.
There he is.
He's back.
You're back.
He's flexing his seahorse for us.
I'm not. I'm getting my shoulder hurts.
Oh, did you tear something? Did you get hurt?
When I sit down. No, when I sit down too long, like, and I'm not moving.
Yeah.
Things like tighten up. So.
Gotcha. No. I mean, you know,
I'm in like way better shape than I'm in way better shape than I'm accustomed to, and it actually kind of hurts.
Wow. So have you been, were you kind of working that up to DEF CON? Was it like a goal, or was it just you're just working on it in general?
Yeah, I was trying to get in shape for DEF CON, you know? I'm just one of the many people trying to make sure I have a six-pack by DEF CON.
Well, look, let me...
So that he can get into Queer CON.
That's right. No, honestly, what I was getting at was the fact that...
Oh, I got in.
DEF CON is a marathon. DEF CON is a marathon. I got my steps in every single day of DEF CON.
Me too.
I mean, during B-Sides, I got over like close to 15,000 steps a day, 17,000 steps. That was a good, you know, that's a lot of steps for me, which is good. I need that. But, you know, you work your way up to DEF CON, and actually coming back from CON, I find myself now winding back down to this not as active state of being, which is terrible. I was actually, it feels good to move that much. So
it hurts now.
Well, yeah. I mean, so a little pain.
Well, I mean, it hurts now that, you know, we're not moving as much as we were.
Right.
To be honest, I'm actually going to have to get it on a treadmill now in order to not hurt.
Cooper, we were worried that when we were going back and forth there, like that first couple nights going from Tuscany to CVS, Starbucks, and I drug
you
along.
You were trying to kill me.
We weren't trying. I had no until I was like, "What the hell is that panting?"
Oh gosh!
And I was like, "Is there a Saint Bernard behind me?" Just
don't
be waiting
like
to
that.
Be fed?
Should I then share some of the dirt that I have?
No, then? See,
and
checks and balances.
James, checks the guilty.
Checks and
it
balances,
wasn't,
people.
It wasn't that bad. I felt
at DEF CON.
I genuinely felt bad.
Able to walk the two blocks from Tuscany to Bally's and back and not die of
well, it's 111 stroke. Degree heat. And he was saying he felt sorry for
you. Well, I'm walking it, and he's with me, and Cooper's with me, and I completely forget that I've been doing nothing but running for the past 6 months. So I've, running outside in San Antonio heat, so I'm fine.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, everybody else will be fine, and Cooper's behind me, and I'm just like, oh, shit, he may not be as fine as me. And I've just drug him all across fucking Las Vegas saying, no, we're fine. We'll walk it. We're good. And God bless you, Cooper. You sat there. You're like, yeah, we can keep walking.
Oh,
and
man.
Then,
it and stopped then cramping. Like, I'm good. Let's keep walking.
Oh, gosh. It stopped cramping.
And then I felt terrible.
And then it's like, okay, let's stop here for a little bit so I can actually get a refill of water in my Nalgene. Yes. For those that are listening, if it's your first year at DEF CON, don't bring an Nalgene. Bring a freaking Camelback or platypus or some sort of hydration backpack with a bladder this time.
I was going to ask that question.
Hard way.
So what's wrong with the Nalgene? What is it? Is it too small? Is it just
enough
a pain
water,
to cure?
Mm-hmm. Too heavy. Something else in your hands. You gotta have your hands empty to be able to fight off the hookers on the way back to the room late at night.
Plus,
one thing that'll actually carry more water, and you can suck on it while you're sucking air, and Vesh is almost doing this speed walking bullshit.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm used to keeping up with Script Junkie when he walks, and I have to run next to him. So,
well, that's because he's like freakishly tall and long legged. Well, I'm not tall, and I've got short legs. I'm all torso, and yes. I am well-fed torso as well.
But, hey,
go ahead.
You keep it up at DEF CON, and you keep up that pace. And I actually used to joke that I have to train for Vegas, because whether I was doing one con, three cons, or whatever, there's always a lot of walking involved. It is a marathon, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. That's honestly it. And if you're in Vegas and it's 111 degrees, which it will be, or worse... although we did uncharacteristically have rain during the cons, and it actually dropped down to something like 75 or 80, which is very cool for Vegas. And so that was actually amazing for like 2 days. But definitely, if you have to walk between hotels, they look like they're so close together, but they are not. So bring your good walking shoes, make sure you've got Band-Aids for blisters, and definitely, as Coop said, bring a Camelback or some other bladder-filled backpack of joy. And if you have the ability to have a pace car like our friend Vesh here, cause you probably keep up a good pace, whether it's for reasons of Script Junkie or otherwise. There are benefits to being in better shape, and it wears on you if you're running around all day. But then again, I don't feel guilty if I eat at a buffet in Vegas after 12,000 steps. I'm not exactly worried. Because, then you've kind of earned it at least.
The friggin' steak tartare burger tartare, whatever the hell that was, at BLT Steakhouse in Bally's is amazing.
Oh, wow.
Like, order that. Don't order their cocktails. They're pretty good, but they're overpriced.
Actually,
but
the best old-fashioned
steak tartare.
The best old-fashioned I have ever had so far is from the Tuscany. They made a proper Willet Rye old fashioned. Thank you, Gruven, a gentleman I met who was in the bar. We were chatting, and while I was waiting for my coworkers and buddies, he just sort of were chatting about it, and I ordered one, and oh my gosh, that might be the best old fashioned I've had in Vegas in 4 years. So.
Oh yeah. I would like to thank the Tuscany for all kinds of things. Like, I would like to thank that hot bartender there that was serving me by the pool, me and my friends by the pool constantly. I think her name was Laura. There you go. Thank you for serving us drinks and serving good drinks too. It was like decent drinks, like a good mojito, a good old fashioned, These things are surprisingly hard to come by for less than $10 in Vegas.
Exactly right. And it was only, I think, $8 for the old fashioned considering, and it was a decent-sized beverage. It was not overly sweet. And if you're getting a decent beverage and poolside yet, for under, you know, $6-$8, I mean, goodness. The Tuscany may not be a proper strip hotel, but it is right next door, and they do a very good job. They work very hard.
Tuscany was great. I love that layout. That was a nice looking. It was a perfect size. The pool was great. The service was great. I didn't do much of the food, like the traditional food, but it was all in all great friggin' experience. But Bally's was great too, but for different reasons.
Oh, sure. Well, I have to give positive feedback on the Tuscany for another reason, because they help us run a con with 7 tracks that run concurrently in different corners of their hotel, and yet it still comes off, and I'm guesstimating over 2,000 plus people are at B-Sides LV. I actually have any of the numbers. I need to go look it up. But the thing that blew my mind was the Cyber Grand Challenge. Did either of you guys attend Cyber Grand Challenge over at
the DARPA stuff?
The DARPA stuff.
Yeah, I just heard about it during the closing ceremonies.
You were starting to say, Vash? No, maybe not. Okay, we might have lost him again. So, Cyber Grand Challenge, DARPA did this thing where it was computer team versus computer team, and it wasn't people. They actually built their machines to attack one another. And there was a problem-releasing machine. I know I'm saying it incorrectly, so forgive me. But basically, there's a scoring machine watching everything go down. There's the problem-release machine, which actually releases every... there are several rounds. They actually did, I think, 100 rounds of releases of these problem statements or problem packets. And so basically it's introducing malware into the system, and each of the machines get attacked by the problem challenge server, and then they start attacking each other, and then they start defending and working out how to defend against these attacks in an automated fashion. And they patch automatically. They develop, test, and release patches to keep services up and running. So in a very overly complex looking scoring system, it's actually pretty amazing, because they're so close to, in my opinion, getting this to a digestible format. I'm not saying it's going to be an esport tomorrow, but at the same time, I think we're going to see more of this as they work out ways to automate the patching of systems. Now, this will be a very expensive service, I can assure you. But the idea would be that you have these giant machines that are built of, 64 separate modules, each of them being a Xeon processor with an obnoxious amount of RAM behind each of them, and they're running enough coolant under that stage, you know, it would basically catch fire. It's enough power to run a small city on one stage in one room. And granted, that room happens to be the size of two or three different DEFCON presentations kind of all mashed together. But it was the first of its kind, and it was amazing. I have to say that it was a pleasure to sit through for the first hour, and then after about an hour and a half in, I was kind of saying it would be better maybe if they had kept the scoreboard up a little more and kind of helped us to get more information or analyze the information in different ways. But it turns out there's this air gap between the actual machines doing all the work and the rest of everything else. And so there was a physical air gap, and in theory, the only way data got out of the system was by data sets getting, and basically how things happened, getting recorded into massive data sets that are burned to optical disk, and by robot, they're burned and dropped outside the air gap. And then you have to take the disk and parse the data, and that's the only way the scoreboards get updated. What I was hoping to see was, as far as they've gotten, would it be possible to show individual attacks and different types of attack vectors and defenses? But it looks like they haven't quite gotten that far yet. It's pretty impressive and confusing at first when you're looking at what they're putting up for the scoring sets. But it's neat to see that they're working on it, and we might actually get something out of this, because if we can get autonomous defense systems set up, it's a very interesting set of interactions to observe. Now, granted, they also could have, and here's my media hat on, is that when they counted down to saying the first ever challenge is getting underway, they spent time bugging us with 3-2-1, and then it wasn't, we're starting the contest, it was 3-2-1, and it's on. They didn't tell us that they actually started the contest. I thought they were just counting down to the beginning of the whole event. It was a countdown to the beginning of the challenge, and then it ran for 3 solid hours, which was a bit on the long side without seeing more visuals, in my opinion. So the crowd definitely thinned, but for what it was and for what it represents the start of, it's an amazing piece of cyber tech history that I think is going to be looked back upon for years to come. And I'm hoping they do something like it again for each year if there's a way to do it. Because some of these teams, one of the teams was a 2-person team. Another team happened to be, I think, 30 people with interns involved. So, I mean, you've got a wide set of parameters to work through here. And it's a big change. And over 100 teams competed, but only, I think, 7 or 8 actually got to bring their giant supercomputers on stage. Very curious to see where this is going to go. But that was actually the first major DEF CON highlight, was seeing how many people were actually in line. There were literally 1,000 people or more behind us waiting to get in that room when we waited for an hour and a half to get in there. And it was worth it. It was definitely worth it. Not to mention, I actually learned about a couple of pieces of AV gear that I was very excited about, because a lot of press folks, we were able to sit right behind the press area. I was very excited. Super excited to get to look. Oh, what is that? What kind of rig is that? Is that a brushless gimbal system? What are you doing? Went over and just started bugging the guys from BBC and from other, news organizations, because I liked their gear. So what can I tell you? I'm kind of a tech nerd first and an observer second when it came to that. But I actually think that is a well worthwhile pursuit, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. Beyond that, though, the Noobs Day for DEF CON, as some people will call it, I went and gotten Schwagline early because I decided I wanted a pretty DEF CON shirt this year. I wanted a collared shirt I could wear to work. And by the time I got to the front of that line, and it was the first day, they had already sold out. I picked 5 shirts and said, I want all of them in my size. And they said, we're already out of that size. I said, go 1 size larger. They said, those are all out too. So I put in for 5, and I got 2 shirts. And it's not like they're cheap shirts either. And they're already gone. It's not even 5 hours in, people.
You need the extra mediums.
Well, I'm just
well,
not...
Thursday, you don't have anything to do other than pick up your badge and the 101 track, but most people don't go to the 101. They either go drinking or try and buy shit.
Well...
Oh, I don't know. I was I mean, we were sitting there...
Or they do donuts in the casino like somebody I know.
Yeah, well, that's what I was doing. I was doing donuts by the DCO 101 track, having a few drinks, going down the line and just being an asshole, even by DEF CON standards.
Wow. Did you actually wear a beer hat? I'm just curious.
No. Now,
he's got something for next year. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Next year we're going to deck these mofos out. And,
are you going to pimp your ride? Cause they used to do a pimp my scooter.
Yeah, there's some stuff in the works for next year. We'll figure it out. Okay. I got to see what we
need. Some Saha hard hats where, you know, carries at least 2 tall boys, and that would be kind of fun for DEF CON, in my opinion.
I didn't do the hard hats, but we did do a Saha thing. Me and I think it was Matt Killian with Mickey's 40s and ice buckets.
Oh my gosh!
So.
I'm curious to see that. I actually ran into a few of the AHA folks, a few Saha folks. Somebody in the SE village kept pegging my AHA badge. I was looking around. I was looking around the entire room. I'm like, the first day I'm in this the social engineering village. I'm sitting there, and the badge lights up green, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I just nudged something, or if I maybe bounced the laser off of something and hit the badge. Well. It lit up green again, and then a minute later, it started playing music. And I'm like, oh, gosh, not now. No. And I go to turn off, and I have to pop the battery, and I'm like, what the heck is happening? Pop the battery back in, let it reboot, figured it was just maybe low batteries. Minute and a half, 2 minutes go by, pegged again. And I'm like, where is this? Because even if you can hide the laser, I figured I'll spot the person with the badge on. I could not lay eyes on whoever was getting me. So if you're out there and you heard it, enjoy the fact that I never spotted you. And it was funny as heck, I'm sure. But I just popped the batteries out because it was, of course I didn't want that much attention. But it was, it was funny. It was good. And, I also did something very childish. I bought light up footwear.
Really?
So, anyway.
But to wrap up, this has been our Tales from DEF CON, and we'd love to thank our sponsors, including our newest member of the family, DangerousThings.com, where you can go for all of their toys for the discerning hacker, especially implants and accessories for implants, as well as AxianVPN.com, which we love your solutions for keeping our anonymity during DEF CON. It came in very handy for me. I don't know about everybody else, but
I'm looking forward
to using it again next year.
And thank you so much for taking them.
Please tune in next week where we actually might talk about security and the news. This time we just had too much to talk about from DEF CON and Hacker Summer Camp, B-Sides Las Vegas. Maybe some Black Hat in there somewhere in the cracks. I don't know. But if you want to reach out to us, we're on Twitter, SATX Hackers. Just reach out. Give us some love. See you in the wires.